she phoned me up and said, I'm writing this play. And she said it was inspired by JFK and the Unspeakable, the book. So, well, what started you on that? She said, well, my husband had a book on his desk and I picked it up and he never got the book back.
I found the book so compelling and so intriguing and was just swallowed up by it, even though I hadn't really read a lot of JFK books at all. I saw scenes in my mind as I read it. I thought many aspects of it were quite dramatic, even though they didn't have the kind of fleshing out that a play requires. And a year or so later, after I had written many, many scenes and done a lot of my own research, I got in touch with James Douglas, and he has been a fine support for me ever since.
She just wrote her 20th draft. It's an incredible process she's gone through.
The first draft that was read, which was actually about the 10th draft, it was a much more historical, linear play. And it was okay. I actually got good feedback on that, but I was not satisfied. I felt it didn't have the character and the arc that a play required.
She's a dramatist. I'm a historian, at least in relation to these events. I want everything to be exact and precise. And she wants it to be in a form that in an hour and a quarter, she can capture what took me 500 pages.
His source materials were very important to me, and his support and his advocacy and his questioning of what I was doing and how I was doing it.
There is a tension between those two genres, and Ginny is a great playwright, and I'm a sort of a hopeful historian.
The more I worked with the material, the more I became intrigued by a man who in the book was a very, very minor character. Jim does not dwell on him and does not explore his situation. I just found myself drawn more and more to this character and who he was. And he was an insider. And yet, when it's all over, he is somebody else. And I just kind of went off on his trail, following him. And the 10th draft, I said to Jim, my play is about this character and how he finds redemption in the midst of this situation.
So she's written a play about what did happen 50 years ago and how it was seen through the eyes of a man named Thomas Merton, the great monk and writer whom I knew, who was a friend of mine. And a man who comes to his monastery, who was a national security advisor to John F. Kennedy, and who is besieged by questions, am I responsible for his death? And that man represents all of us. Nikita Khrushchev sent a secret letter to John F. Kennedy in which he said, as an atheist, that Noah's Ark was a symbol of his relationship with President Kennedy. And Khrushchev said to Mr. Kennedy, let's not argue, Mr. President, over who are the clean and who are the unclean on Noah's Ark. Let's just keep the Ark afloat. And that's what they did in the midst of the missile crisis. Kennedy remembered and Khrushchev remembered they had once agreed on that being Noah's Ark that they were on. They had to keep the Ark afloat, and they did.